we've built up a stronger picture of life a few thousand years ago. They were living in circular houses made largely from mud with a little hint of poo and bone, and were farming the surrounding lands, enjoying bread, honey and wine for dinner. But to find out more, it's time to look more closely at some of the artifacts the team has been finding. And there was one that caused considerable excitement in the square Natalia Hanziak was supervising. And apologies, archaeologists have potty mouths.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Look at that. Beautiful.
So even to my very untrained eye, I can tell this is something.
Exactly. It's thingliness, really. So what we're looking at here is a large obsidian blade. An obsidian is volcanic flow that dried very, very quickly. So it has the appearance of glass, essentially. So these are essentially used as blades, as knives, as sickles. And we pull out quite a few of these from the square. This is our second or third one from this hole right now. And as you can see, the edges look a little bit serrated. They've been reworked, telling us that this blade was probably used quite a bit. And the way that there is this divot in the edge also tells us that it was most likely used at some point before it was buried next to this wall.
These obsidian blades turned up quite a lot, with various different markings indicating what they might have been used for. And perhaps the best way to understand how the Neolithic made and used these is to try it for yourself. Sean Doyle is the project's resident napper, which is not, as I initially assumed, because he slept too much.
Napping, K-N-A-P-P-I-N-G, is the general term used for the production of chipped stone tools. But generally, it's the tools that are made with siliceous material.
Siliceous?
It is a very siliceous rock, actually. Obsidian has a very high silica content. Siliceous stone is a stone where its main component is silica.
Right. And obsidian is the thing that earlier on the dig we found lots of tools made of obsidian. And you've got a massive rock of it here, and it's dark and black and shiny and very beautiful. And I also know this is the thing that in Game of Thrones they're very excited about. They call it dragon glass. So this is, to me, quite a mystical object. But what actually is it?
First of all, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, so I love me some dragon glass. And if I can kill a White Walker one day, I totally would. In our world, obsidian is a stone that's formed in volcanic eruptions. You need a lava that has a really low viscosity, which means it's very fluid and liquid, and it supercools very quickly, so quickly that the elements inside don't have time to crystallize. So you end up with a very homogeneous natural glass material. The crystallization process kind of ruins its predictability. So the more glass-like it is, the more predictable it is, and the more easily you can flake it into the tools that you want. Other siliceous stones are flint and various types of chert, like chalcedony or opal, or some quartz.
Take me through napping then. How would I go about turning this big block into a nice little, I don't know, a knife?
You basically just stare at your stone a lot until it speaks to you.
Oh, wow. That's so very scientific then.
Yeah, that's the easy way to put it. But really, it depends on what you're trying to do with the stone. If you're just trying to take a flake that you can use to cut something with, you're just looking for an angle that's under 90 degrees. This one here is about 70. And you're just looking for a flat, strong platform that you can hit with the stone that will withstand the strike and allow the shockwave to travel through the piece. Kind of like this.
Eureka! Oh, that's a really nice one.
So that's a nice thick flake. You know, it's such a versatile material that you can pretty much shape it into anything you want once you know what you're doing.
Once you know what you're doing being the operative phrase here. That didn't stop me from demanding a go, and I don't know why you'd have large chunks of obsidian lying around your house, but please don't try this at home. I found out it's very easy to cut yourself.
I have a few scars from my learning days. But every scar is a lesson. That's what I
right.
always say.
So the rock speaks to me, yeah.
There you
oh,
go.
Oh no, it didn't do a nice flake like yours. I just cut off the end.
Yeah, well, it exploded a little bit, but that's part of the learning process.
Okay.
You're gonna...
What did I do wrong?
A couple things.
So we mentioned Game of Thrones earlier. Could you make a sword out of this stuff? Would it work?
Well, I could make a sword, but it probably wouldn't be the most practical thing. It would probably break in half the first time you tried to hit something with it.
Brittle, it may be, but what it lacks in sturdiness, it makes up for in its edge, which I would say was razor sharp, but really it makes a razor look like a crayon.
Yeah, so obsidian is so sharp, a sharp edge can be something like 2 nanometers in thickness or something like that. So it gets so thin that you can cut between blood cells. Actually, obsidian is still used in some modern surgeries for that reason, but also because you can sterilize it really easily. It doesn't have the same pores as surgical or modern steel does, so you can sterilize it really easily.
So. Do we think the Neolithic people were using it for surgery?
You know what? They probably might have been. They used it for all sorts of different things, including scarification, bloodletting, maybe tattooing even. Yeah, it's a very versatile material. They even made mirrors with it. The first mirrors in the world were made from obsidian.
Wow.
You'll be pleased to know none of the team used it to do any bloodletting, but one Georgian archaeologist, Dima, did actually manage to shave his beard with a blade. Again, please don't try this at home. But obsidian, as well as giving insights into how the Neolithic lived, can also tell us a bit about their movements.
Each obsidian source is unique in its chemical signature, actually. That's why it's used very effectively in sourcing, so we can use various lab instruments like X-ray diffraction and others to identify its trace elements so that you can match artifacts in the archaeological record to the obsidian source that it came from.
Right, so if people were trading with this, you'd know how far it moved.
That's right, yeah. And because it's such a homogeneous material, it's much easier to do that than with, say, flint or chert. So you can tell exactly how far material was traveling in the past.
So all hail obsidian, then.
All hail obsidian. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Me too, now. I've decided.
Perfect.
Sean Doyle there, a napper, that's with a K, and a dragonglass wielder.